the morning, Tia.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Josh.
And this is the RooneyCast. The RooneyCast is a podcast discussing the works and adaptations of Irish author Sally Rooney. From her first novel, Conversations with Friends, to the phenomenon that is Normal People, we will analyze the complex relational machinations of these many emotionally unavailable 20-somethings.
We've returned, Anna. We returned from the brink because Sally Rooney has a third book.
Beautiful World, Where Are You?
It had been out since we began this podcast.
We're just slow.
Yes. It took me a whole half a year to read that book. Not the whole thing. I read at a very slow pace, but this book was shockingly very amazing. Not too shocking, though, knowing Sally Rooney.
And it took me a few train journeys along the English coast and to Amsterdam. Pretty exciting stuff.
It has been a long while. A lot's changed with the RooneyCast crew. We are no longer arts and culture editors. Yet we still do love so much the works of Sally Rooney, especially this book, because this book was such a treat. I still haven't read Conversations with Friends, but I have read Normal People, and I honestly liked this book a little more than Normal People.
I think I prefer the characters of this book far more than I loved Marianne and Connell. I think the show version of Normal People is still a superior piece of television, but the characters of Beautiful World, Where Are You? Are exceptional.
Honestly, I'm not even sure if they're more necessarily deeper or if they're just kind of more relatable, more down to earth.
I feel like they're just more real. Yeah. Like, the whole thing about Normal People is that they're supposed to be normal, but when you get to her now third book, the characters get more normal as each book goes. So, props to you, Sally.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. The normalization of Sally Rooney characters.
Really funny. Yeah. Okay, well, do we want to explain Beautiful World, Where Are You?
Yes. To put it very briefly, we'll do no spoilers first, and then we'll get into a bit of a spoiler talk later when we discuss the ending, which Anna has strong feelings about. But briefly, Beautiful World, Where Are You? Follows these two friends, semi-estranged, in their late 20s, named Alice and Eileen. And it's about their journeys through relationships, romantic and friendly. But the lines get blurred. It's mostly told, at least for a good chunk of the book, through emails that Alice and Eileen send to each other. And it's sort of epistolary in that sense. And we just get to see this lovely little journey of love and reconciliation and being in your late 20s, which neither Anna nor I have much expertise in as of right now.
As I'm still 20.
Yeah. We have about a decade to go there, yeah. Each of us. Yeah, where should we start?
I guess we should start with just naming the characters. So you mentioned Alice and Eileen. They also have their prospective love interests as well. Simon for Eileen and Felix mm-hmm. for Alice. Simon and Eileen both live in Dublin. They move around a bit, but Felix and Alice live on the Irish coast in the middle of perhaps nowhere, apparently. Little geography for you.
I think it's interesting how the relationships, they contrast one another, but they also, they're so similar just because of the nature of love and relationships, but they're very different in the sense that Eileen and Simon are old, like childhood friends who have had a sexual past with one another, but are in this weird limbo of kind of together, kind of not, because Simon's in like an open relationship, it's strange, but Felix and Alice are brand new lovers / companions that met on Tinder. So
yeah, for all of our past RooneyCast listeners, Eileen and Simon are very similar relationship wise to Marianne and Connell, I think, where they kind of just like go back to one another when they're both open in a relationship or not in a relationship, just by each other's side through everything. They don't need to talk all the time, but they're always still friends. which was really interesting to see in another book of Rooney's.
I think I was like, who's Rooney? It's Sally Rooney.
Yeah, who is Rooney?
For reference, whenever Anna and I talk about Sally Rooney, we usually refer to her by her first name. So I was like, yeah, Rooney? Okay.
Even though our podcast is called The Rooney Cast.
Right. It's strange, a little quirk of us. But I think that one of the big differentiating factors also between Alice and Eileen is their monetary situations. Because I would say Alice is close to a self-insert character. Not definitely... When we say self-insert, writers just insert traits that are familiar to them, obviously, and Alice is the writer character, similar to how Connell was the author character in Normal People. She's a very successful novelist, Alice is, but she doesn't feel very fulfilled in her work.
Yeah.
And it's sort of contrasted with Eileen, who works as a editor's assistant.
Yes, at a literary magazine, yeah.
Who makes... a pittance compared to what Alice does. So in these emails that they send to each other, it's interesting to sort of see as the money has gotten larger on Alice's side, she still has been unable to find sort of real connection or real happiness and feels that her work is a little out of touch with the state of the world, which I think is an interesting reflection on Sally Rooney's work because she characterizes Alice as being disappointed when, in retrospect, with the romantic nature of her past novels. These feel unimportant compared to the larger issues of the world.
It is odd, given that how she feels about herself, that Alice has chosen to live such a, like, reclusive life. For context, she lives in a ginormous, like, mansion at the top of a seaside hill, alone, completely isolated from society. And she chose to leave the rustle and bustle of Dublin for this vacation lifestyle as, like, a mental reset. But now she's feeling like she's out of touch with the world because of her money. But also, in some ways, she's made herself more out of touch because she literally has no connections to the world besides her new relationship with Felix that we'll get into and these novel-esque emails that she has with Eileen.
I'm sure these were just questions that also came up in her head, especially since Normal People became... Well, Normal People and Conversations with Friends, when they came out, the novels were pretty successful, and then when the Hulu show came out.
I've mentioned this in our past episodes, but Normal People, I only read because Obama recommended it. And then I had not heard of Conversations with Friends, which had come out years prior to Normal People, ever. Like, not one time. And so it is kind of strange, like, how these novels, like, became such a social phenomenon when I feel like it was just by happenstance.
Yeah, I think Normal People, the show coming out, was pretty much right when the pandemic was in its full form. It was, like, May, right? May 2020, around there?
So I read both her first two novels January of 2020. And then the show came out, I think, April 5th. Mm-hmm. So... early lockdown, like the first couple of weeks in Washington State. So yes, money. We just think that Eileen and Alice have very different conceptions of what money means and what money brings to life. Whereas Eileen loves her job, but she makes next to nothing and is barely able to afford housing in Dublin. Whereas Alice makes more than she could ever use, and that doesn't bring her any more joy, perhaps less joy, than Eileen has with her little sums of money, which is a nice perspective that Rooney brings in to her novels about a passion for your job, and does that need to correlate with the money that you're making? Does money equal happiness? And in this case, she's saying that it doesn't.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting also to look at how each of Alice and Eileen's love interests sort of complement each other, because I think as close as Alice and Eileen are and as good of friends as they are, they're very different people that have very different needs. And it's interesting to see how that is reflected in Simon and Felix. Felix is a very pragmatic, very blunt individual who contrasts, I think, heavily with, like, Simon. Simon is a very warm person. He's a godly boy. And Felix is almost kind of comes off as cold in contrast to that. Felix works well with Alice because she's had so many yes people in her life just push her along to do things that fulfill her role as a writer, as a creator. Whereas Felix might be the first person in a long time to sort of just level with her and tell her to her face that she's kind of out of touch.
Yes. And I think Felix does a good job of kind of being the reader character in a sense. He tells Alice what us as readers want to tell Alice, like, you're a rich millionaire, get off your high horse, come down off your Irish hill. You know, those Irish hills.
Yeah, there's plenty of them, yeah. And I think it's even more interesting when you see the love interest interact with the other person, because Simon and Alice know each other and are acquaintances, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think by the end, they're cool with each other. But throughout at least the beginning, I think it was interesting how Alice sort of had like a, not standoff, sort of standoffish relationship with Simon. Just kind of like.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, didn't think too much of him. And definitely when Felix and Eileen meet, it's like water and gasoline. It's basically, Felix just like interrogates her about her job. And then he's like, oh, you don't make much money, do you? And she's like, yeah, but I enjoy it. And he's like, that's stupid. And she gets very upset. And he's just like, does the guy thing of like, oh, why are you getting upset? So it's interesting to see those dynamics, because I think by the end, well, let's not get into spoiler territory, but it's interesting just to see how each character plays off the other, because I think it's really tight in the sense that these are four people who each have a very important role in the story. And I think it's interesting to compare it with conversations with friends in that way, because I think there were definitely characters in that book that got the limelight more than others. Melissa.
Yeah, poor Melissa.
Poor Melissa. I forgot Melissa's name. Anna had to remind me.
Yeah. One thought that I just had was that it's, I guess, kind of strange following normal people about how, like, Mary Ann and Connell are opposites in certain ways, like a lonely versus socialite, popular versus not. Whereas both these relationships in this book, Alice and Felix and Eileen and Simon, they're all each other's, not like equal, but they're not opposites. Felix and Alice are very similar people, personality wise. And then Simon and Eileen are also very similar. So that's nice to see in relationships as well. You're not contrasting it, but you're bringing in contrast from previous novels to how relationships can work.
Definitely. I think it feels the most real in this book compared to something like Normal People, maybe, because at least in my experience, like, that is just compatibility with someone else. That's being close with someone else. Like, you don't have to like exactly the same things. You don't need to be on the 100% the same page. You kind of just need to be similar.
Yeah.
You need to see the world in ways that make sense to the other person. They could be similar, they don't have to be exactly the same, but they can't be totally divergent. And I think sometimes Normal People felt like very much a romance novel, a romance show.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Normal People feels very, not like elementary, but very just like public friendly. Mm-hmm. Like it could be a show. Mm-hmm. And it could fit a wide span of people's interests. Whereas Beautiful World, Where Are You? I feel like is the adult version of what life really is. It's like it's the most normal. It provides an accurate representation of what relationships are. Whereas Normal People is very much
Normal People is a very interesting story, and it's a very tried and true story of people in love coming together and then falling apart and then coming back together over time. And you can see some elements of that with Eileen and Simon in this novel, where you see that love sort of come together and then come apart over time, over the years. Everything just feels a bit more closer to earth in Beautiful World.
I think moving on from money and the relationships and contrast to Normal People, let's talk about religion. So religion is a topic that is brought up in this book kind of frequently, and it's not a topic that Rooney has gotten into before in any of her previous works. Simon, Eileen's love interest, is Catholic, I I believe.
I think. Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't take our word for it. You should read the book.
You should read the book. that's the short of this. If you want our final thoughts before spoilers, the book is good.
Yeah, you should read the book. This is pause this, read the book, come back to us.
Exactly, exactly.
So Simon often talks about God's plan. I'm doing air quotes currently, but just talking about how he believes in God and he believes that God, he's on like God's path currently, and that everything that happens for a reason, but he's not preachy about it. So what we're going to talk about is how Eileen feels about this relationship that he has with God and how she comes to grapple with that as well.
It's complex, but it's also very simple in a way. It's hard to describe because...
I think it is. It's kind of the most like black and white relationship, like religion relationship that Rooney could have written. Mm-hmm. And yet it still has like nuance.
I got the feeling from not just Eileen's interactions with Simon, but also from her emails that she sends to Alice, that it's like they have sex and then they go to church together, and she questions this idea of God in her head, but I don't think she ever really 100% buys into it. Maybe it's just one of those things that she kind of chalks up in the end of being like, that's life. Because that is sort of a part of the ending, is not just, it's just kind of accepting who you are and accepting where you are and being happy. Being happy is a big part of the ending. We'll get into the ending talk soon. But with religion, I think she does this, it seemed to me at first, just because that it was something that the person that she loved was interested in. And it's just, that's the kind of thing you do sometimes. It's like if you're... partner is interested in something, then you do it with them. Not necessarily because you enjoy it as much as them, but because it makes them happy and you want them to be happy.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is Eileen's ending relationship with God. It's not that she has this revelation. It's kind of just that she has an understanding that in order to be with Simon, a person she truly loves and cares about deeply, she also needs to find a place in her heart for his love of God as well. There are two things that she can't have separately. I think that was just where she ended, was if I'm going to love Simon, I'm going to have to accept and love his relationship with God.
There's nothing that clear with Alice and Felix, but on that side, there are some moments where Felix and Alice basically just, like, bicker and argue with each other.
They're like an old married couple, but, like, newly dating.
They are.
It's really hilarious.
It's just, they're both very... opinionated, and I think in that way they're very good for each other because they have someone who's sort of on that level and who's willing to go to those intellectual spaces to just be able to talk things out with each other. There are times where they just say things that seem very blunt or very out of pocket, but the other just kind of understands and accepts it and goes along with it.
There's no sugarcoating their relationship, and I think that's one of the best parts, where they don't even start out romantically. They kind of just start out as friends in a way. Like, Felix goes with Alice on a business trip, even, to Italy on a spur of the moment. And they're not dating at this point. It's just kind of, you're going? Sure, I'll go. But they do kind of just butt heads, but in a way that is pleasant. Because they're both, like, realizing that neither one of them is above the other, even though their entire relationship, Felix's main like critique about Alice is that she thinks she's just like better than everyone. But the way that they can butt heads and kind of just like yell at each other and say things is a way to show that both of them truly understands that they are, in other words, equal. They both have the right to debate and they both have the intellectual capacity to do so. So neither one is smarter than the other, even if it, like, seems that way.
These two sort of developments that each of the main protagonists goes through, Alice and Eileen, it sort of comes to a head in the ending, I suppose. So this is the spoiler for the ending. Last chance, just read the book, come back. But each of these characters goes through this gigantic development with their partner, where they become more comfortable with themselves and grow in that way romantically, but Eileen and Alice sort of have this interesting relationship where they're friends, but there are unresolved tensions and feelings that don't get covered. Eileen feels that she was sort of distanced from Alice because of how she never visited her, because Alice never really kept Eileen up to tabs on what she was doing, even though Eileen felt she was putting more effort into the relationship.
I think Alice didn't appreciate that Eileen kept going back to Simon, because Alice has some, like, weird hatred of Simon, in a way. They get over it. Also, I just thought about how interesting it was that Eileen and Alice argue. We should probably note that the novel takes place separately. These two couples do not interact until over halfway through this novel. So we're getting one chapter about, like, each perspective, each couple. But they do eventually meet, and it is strange because even though Alice and Eileen, the entire first half of the novel, when they're not physically in the same location, they are communicating through novel-length emails that are truly philosophical and, like, written masterpieces in understanding the human condition. And yet, when they actually meet, they feel like they don't know each other at all. And that they, like, have never talked to each other, and they don't understand who each other is. And it's just funny, because I think it goes to show that you can write all of these beautifully written words, and yet you haven't got your true meaning across.
Through those emails, they've understood a lot about how each other feels about the world, and about romance, and love, and life. I think they get that. But it takes until they really do have a hashing out, a confrontation at the end of the novel, to understand where they are between each other. I don't think they never resolve these, like, little bothering feelings inside them. They exist, and I get it, because it's like if you talk to someone only over email or text for a while, the other person doesn't really exist as, like, a physical, like, friend.
It's like an entity.
An entity, yeah. It's like with long-distance relationships, you get that sort of, it's like they're less a person, more just like an entity. I think it's really interesting not just how that all plays out, because it's a big argument with plates break. In classic Sally Rooney
Which fashion. Is also funny, because that happens in conversations with friends now that I think about it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Classic plate-breaking scene in Sally Rooney.
Y'all ever just had a breakdown and you'd be like, break plates? Because apparently we're not normal.
You know, plates, it's not that plates are super expensive, it's just that I don't want to have to, like, have a plate shortage and then have to go out and buy new plates.
I was going to say, I only own two plates.
Exactly. Who has the time to go out and purchase new plates? It's like, it's fascinating to see how different the perspectives and directions that Felix and Simon take to sort of resolve the situation after the fight with each of their respective partners. Because, rightfully so, Alice and Eileen are very cross with each other because they feel like the other person is out of touch for various different reasons. Yet, it's really cool to see Felix, because it's like you see Felix and Alice sort of hash it out after, where Felix is basically like, so that was weird, right? Like, why did we think that happened, Alice? Like, let's break it down. Maybe we should try to see things from Eileen's perspective, because you did kind of just drop off the face of the earth, and that's not cool. And you know what? You shouldn't stab me. Don't stab anyone. I think that was a point that happened.
She like there was stabbing in this book?
No, but she was like, there was a danger of the stabbing. Wasn't there like a point? Open this book. I want to see. I want to read.
Okay. I'm sorry for the loud noises, but I do have the book in front of me, and Josh was now going to fact check his stabbing.
I don't think, no one got stabbed, but basically Felix takes the situation as nonchalantly as Felix usually does, and Alice threatens to, like, hit him because he's, like, he's just being really blunt in the Felix sort of way, and Alice is like, don't come near me or I'm gonna punch you, and he's like, cool, whatever, but also I'm just telling it as it is. And then she apologizes for threatening to hit him, and then he's like, I know, it's cool, because it's like they understand each other.
Yeah.
Like, that's the sort of takeaway, is that he understood that she probably meant it. So they're on that same wavelength, but with Simon and Eileen, basically they just cuddle in bed, and they're like
pretty sure that's their whole relationship.
Yeah. They're like, we should get married, shouldn't we? Like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, probably. So
they're a kiss and make up relationship where Alice and Felix are kind of like, I threatened to punch you, you say sorry, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felix, they basically take the same approach, I think, both of the guys, except Felix goes like, That's crazy how that just happened, huh? But Simon is cuddles you in bed and he's like, that was pretty crazy how that just happened, huh? You know, like that's the dynamic of their relationships.
Yeah. I think we've made it to my least favorite part. The ending?
The final question chapter. Mark.
First thoughts. Sally, I address this directly to you. We are on a first name basis. Though I know that I have no idea who you are, and I don't claim to know who you are, because that's part of this whole book, is that readers don't know authors. And I don't.
Though we were told by our podcast editor that there is one person in Ireland who has listened to the RooneyCast, so if that's
Sally,
you...
Sally,
if it's you. If it's you, Miss Sally Rooney, I'm glad you made it this far.
Yeah. I'm glad you stuck it out. One. Okay, so the ending makes me upset, because it's another instance of pandemic featured in literature. But coming to think about it now, it does make sense. Josh and I were talking about this a little before we started recording. It cuts back with the pandemic. A year has passed since this entire novel took place, so we're assuming all this happened in 2019, and then the last chapter takes place in mid-2020. And everyone is just living this happy-go-lucky life. I was upset about this because Rooney's novels, historically, have ended with just this mysterious, elusive, half-open relationship where you don't know whether the couple's going to actually be together for long term. You don't know if they're even together now. You don't know where their lives are going, and they're just like at this crossroads. And that's how she's ended both of her previous two novels. And then this one, I kid you not, the last line goes as follows. And I write you this message. I'm very happy.
Here's the thing. I get what it's doing. Because for most of this book, Eileen and Alice were living in basically a fine time for themselves, except they were terribly depressed. And now that the world is gone to shit, they have found happiness. And I think, you know, as much as I love stuff like The Last of Us Part 2.
Who?
It's a video game. It came out during the pandemic, and it was trying to tell a very dark, depressing story in a very dark, depressing time. And I understand that sometimes that's a lot. It's a lot to have very depressing things happen in a very depressing time. It's not that Sally Rooney's other novels were depressing. Sometimes they were kind of silly, like with Conversations with Friends. Sometimes they were very open-ended and vague, but also heartwarming, like Normal People. I think this ending is just very... It's an actualization. I think it's quite real.
Yeah.
Like the rest of this book.
I agree. It does make the most sense, I guess, because if you're talking about real life, in a world that's so digital and so connected at all times, there is, like, no way to really have such an elusive ending, like, that's seen in Normal People and Conversations with Friends. You know, like, you are in communication, or at least you could be in contact. You have a way of being in contact and, like, understanding where the other person is at. Whereas, and in this novel, she does be like, hey, we realize that our life is okay, and we are living our everyday lives in the pandemic, and we're fine. I think they hit the, we're okay.
It fits. As we've said, Connell and Marianne, very much romance novel characters in the way that they have a very, their dynamic plays off one another in that they're sort of quite different, except they have this sort of sensitivity with each other. Felix and Alice, they mesh together very well. Simon and Eileen mesh together very well. At that point in their lives, you know, late 20s, I think Eileen turns 30 in the last chapter.
Yeah, she does. It's her 30th birthday. Yeah.
So they're in their early 30s, early to mid 30s now. They're all at this point where they've become who they are. And they've become, they realize that they have become who they want to be. And they are happy with that. And I think that's a very heartwarming thing to think about.
It is heartwarming in that I just realized that both Francis and Bobby and Connell and Marianne, they're all in university. They're all in their early 20s. And it just goes to show that, like, life just gets better because you realize more about what life is. You realize more about yourself. You realize more about what you want and what fulfills you as you age. And so that is a heartwarming ending, mm-hmm. in that you put it that way, because I think a lot of people our age think of their 30s and they, like, see them with fear because it's the unknown, and they claim that life just gets drastically worse as you age. But I think Sally is showing, yes, first name basis again. I called her Rooney and you didn't know who I was talking about, so we're back with Sally. Sally is just showing that life is beautiful as it continues, and that you shouldn't be fearful of the world moving on and changing, because changing can be beautiful.
As the wise Childish Gambino once said, I am what I am, everything I want to be. And I think that you can kind of see that with the Beautiful World characters, because they are still very much Sally Rooney characters. Yeah. If a Sally Rooney character had an archetype, they're just 10 years older. I can see a Connell. I don't think Connell would have a vicious streak like Alice, because I think Connell's too much of a softy for that. But I can see someone like Connell in 10 years' time from the end of Normal People. Maybe didn't work out with Marianne, which is sad, but probably realistic. And eventually becoming someone like Alice, someone who was successful, but sort of didn't understand what to do with the success. And then is at this point in their lives. It's, if anyone understands this reference, it's like the she's having a baby to Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
If Normal People was Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Great movie, by the way.
Great movie. Beautiful World, Where Are You? Is she's having a baby. It's the slightly... It's,
and Eileen is having...
She's having a baby. This is now John Hughes' podcast. Yeah. Where we talk about She's Having a Baby, John Hughes' hit film.
I think we can wrap this up in just saying that the title of this book makes sense. Mm-hmm. The title of this book is very confusing when you first think about it. And yet, it makes sense because I think both of these characters, they start out at the start of this novel, even though they're 29, they seem like the university characters that Sally Rooney has loves to write about. And yet, the last chapter, they are now in their 30s, and it's like an entire decade of knowledge and life experience has suddenly, like, filled them, and they understand what life is, and they understand that they found this beautiful world, and this beautiful world is, like, within us all and within life, and you just have to look for it.
Maybe the real beautiful world is the friends that we made along the way.
Aww.
In my humble opinion, I enjoyed this book more than Normal People, as I said. It's probably my favorite piece of fiction by or originating from Sally Rooney, even though I haven't read Conversations with Friends.
Tisk, tisk.
Tisk, tisk, I know. But this is definitely a cool story. And I thought the character work was... It showed a maturity, I think, that was on a different sort of plane or different dynamic than
her previous book. It showed a maturity that I didn't know I was looking for, but that when you read, you realize that you needed in literature. And my copy has so many bookmarks and page flags, and I'm not going to say that it's more like a modern, like, philosophical take, but it kind of does offer just, like, philosophies of the, like, 21st century. Mm-hmm. In just, like, understanding human nature in its most sincere way.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the actual final for real last episode of the Rooney Cast.
Unless Sally decides to write another book, and then we'll be back.
Yes. We'll be back in 2024. 2025. Those years.
We'll be back when we're 30.
Oh, my God. It'll be like Beautiful World, where it'll be like us.
The beautiful, we're the final chapter.
The Beautiful World special, where she releases her last book. Oh, that's beautiful. But, yes. Thank you all for listening. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to the Rooney Cast. We missed talking to all of you, even though we're literally just talking to ourselves in this room. But, yeah.
Tally ho.
Bye.